Child abuse is on the rise in Michigan. As recently as 2006, Michigan's rate of child abuse and neglect was below the national average. Today, it is more than 50% higher than the national rate. And this surge in child abuse comes exactly as state spending on abuse and neglect prevention has been cut sharply. To try and answer why child abuse and neglect rates are going up in Michigan, we turn to Jane Zender Merrill. She's the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
And we welcome Kathy Weisenborn, who's the president of Care House of Oakland County. It's the Child Abuse and Neglect Council of Oakland County. Welcome, Kathy.
Hello.
Jane, I want to start with you, and if we could talk a little about the statistics and the data. What do the statistics tell us about the change in the rates of child abuse and neglect in Michigan, say, since 2000?
Well, I've got in front of me the latest report that we put out looking at child abuse and neglect since 2005 through 2011. And what we see is a significant increase not only in confirmed victims, but also there's more reports coming into the state and more investigations going on of abuse and neglect, which is not surprising given the stress that families are under with unemployment persisting really throughout the decade and families really scrambling in terms of foreclosure as well.
Can you give us any sense of which counties have the highest rates?
Actually, it's in some of our northern rural counties that we see some of the highest rates of abuse and neglect. And in some of the counties where we see really high levels of abuse and neglect, we also see relatively high levels of poverty. And this is, again, not so surprising because most abuse and neglect is actually neglect. Parents not having the wherewithal to protect their children. It's really, rather than being abuse, which you read about disproportionately in the newspapers, really 86%, I believe the department cites, of all cases involve neglect at some level.
Kathy Weisenborn, your team at Care House of Oakland County works with the children and their families every single day. Give us your sense of what's behind the increase in the rates of abuse and neglect.
You know, Cindy, we are at Care House would be working with, for the most part, children who have been sexually abused or physically abused. The vast majority of our cases are sexual abuse. We're not seeing necessarily the neglect. We have seen cases rise over the past several years. We like to think we're doing a better job of educating so that more cases are reported, so that children, once a case is reported, that child can get help. But we don't absolutely know that it's more reporting that is resulting in those increased cases. You know, to some degree, really horrific things like the Sandusky case does bring light on this issue. And perhaps the little sliver of silver lining in that case is it has shined light on child sexual abuse so that perhaps that does result in an increase in reporting.
Do you feel, Kathy, that what Jane had pointed to with the sense that the increase seems to be tied with the economic troubles that people are going through in the Great Recession in Michigan, do you think that is linked from what you're seeing?
I don't know that that is a direct link to the sexual abuse cases that we're seeing. Perhaps that stress on the family does have an impact on physical abuse. But one might surmise that you almost have the opposite effect with sexual abuse, that if something is happening in the family and perhaps it's the breadwinner who is the perpetrator, there's a lot of pressure on that child to keep quiet, particularly when that family has economic stress as well. So it's really hard to say.
Do you look, Cynthia, at what drove this increase between the 2005-2011 caseload? The big increase came in what the department describes as Category 3. The department, when they determine that there's been abuse and neglect that has occurred and there's a victim that they feel they have enough evidence to say, yes, this occurred. If there's a low risk of that abuse or neglect reoccurring, they categorize that as a category 3. And that's virtually where all of the increase came. It jumped from around 6,500 to 10,000, over 10,000 cases in that category. So what that says to us is that if we had preventive programs in place, that that abuse or neglect need never to have occurred, because what the department does with those cases is refer those families to community services and close the case. But the fact remains that a child has been abused or neglected.
Can you give us a for instance of these Category 3 cases, Jane Zender-Merrill, when you're saying there's a large increase in them and these are cases that have a low risk of recurring? What would that look like?
You know, we've had multiple discussions with the department to try to find out what services are lacking in local communities, or what services were families not getting access to before the abuse neglect occurred.
Are we talking about, for example, mom or dad are working overnight, kids left alone? Or...
Yeah, could be that.
Oh, okay.
Failure to protect. They could be not having enough food in the household. Their housing might be compromised in some way. They're not providing for basic needs. I mean, that's another big change that people aren't registering, I don't think, is that in the last 20 years in Michigan and really throughout the country, we've seen a big change in terms of eligibility for assistance programs and also for the level of assistance that's provided.
Mm-hmm.
And so parents who are trying to meet the needs of their children during this recession are far worse off than previous generations. Previous generations would have qualified for eligibility at much higher rates of income, and they also would have had a much more substantial level of assistance. For example, right now, if you're a single mom, you lose your job, you're not eligible for unemployment because you work part-time at a retail or restaurant, so your income would not make you eligible for unemployment, so you apply for cash assistance. The amount of, you have to have an income under $812 gross monthly income in order to qualify, and that's well below the poverty level. So a lot of families who are in that margin between $812 and I believe it's almost $1,300 for a family of three aren't eligible for anything but perhaps food stamps.
And yet one would think with this increase in reports of abuse, you'd think it would lead to an increase in state funding for prevention programs, but exactly the opposite has happened, hasn't it?
Exactly.
We had a wonderfully successful program that CareHouse participated in that was called a prevention pilot, mm-hmm. where we partnered within Oakland County with several other organizations, and we were working with families that were at risk, that were your Category 3 or Category 4 type families, and providing them with education, with other types of assistance programs, and when we measured the results on that program, it was incredibly successful. Over 95% of the families that went through the prevention pilot had no additional reports to protective services. So you can see that there are really effective prevention programs out there. Unfortunately, that was federal funding that dried up last fall. So we don't have that program anymore in Oakland County or across the state.
I'm speaking with Kathy Weisenborn. She is the president of CareHouse of Oakland County, and with Jane Zender-Merrill, who's with Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy, looking at the increase in Michigan's rate of child abuse and neglect in recent years, particularly between 2005 and 2011, and the fact that at the same time we're seeing federal and state funding for prevention programs and education programs and intervention drying up. So I have to ask both of you, with the federal and state dollars drying up, what options remain? Jane, I'll start with you.
Well, I think we need to advocate for the priorities in the budget that we think are important. Clearly, there is money for those things that we think are priorities. We were able in Michigan to provide a $1.6 or $8 $1 billion tax break for businesses a few years ago. And we, you know, we have this pool of money that we all pay into with our sales tax and income tax and the various sources of revenue that come into the state. And our legislature divides up that pie and decides where the money is going to go. So as advocates for children and families, we need to be at the forefront, making sure that those resources that families need during economic hard times, which are inevitable, the business cycle goes up and down. And in Michigan, we should know that better than any other state.
Mm-hmm.
And children who grow up after experiencing abuse and neglect, particularly in early childhood, have long-term outcomes that affect them oftentimes the rest of their lives. So we can ill afford to see these rates go up and see more children damaged because we as a society did not extend the help to their families that was needed through no fault of their own. I mean, unemployment is high. It's very difficult for people to find jobs. And the other dynamic that we have going is that people are often taking several part-time, low-paying jobs. So even if they find a job, it may not lift them above poverty level so that they can afford housing, which keeps going up.
And Kathy Weisenberg, from where you sit at Care House in Oakland County, what do you see as options, realizing that state and federal dollars just aren't there?
I mean, we as an agency have very much focused on trying to expand our base of private funding, whether that's through corporate foundations, other foundations, private donors. 40 to 50% of our funding each year we are raising through those sources. So what we find is that as state and federal dollars shrink, that becomes that much more important to expanding the private funding. And to the extent that there is a program like the prevention pilot where we lose the state funding, that was something we just couldn't replace. And unfortunately, then we cannot offer that program. So we really try not to get ourselves in those types of situations by kind of expanding that base of private funding.
Kathy, what are the biggest misconceptions you think that the public and our lawmakers and leaders, both state and federal, but we're really talking about the state, too. We want to focus on Lansing. What are those biggest misconceptions you think they have about child abuse and child abusers?
In particular, I think there's particularly about sexual abuse, there's a perception that it doesn't happen in my community. And we know that sexual abuse, physical abuse, also happens across all socioeconomic backgrounds. It happens in Oakland County, in Washtenaw County, in all counties across the state. And it's a problem that you have to deal with, not by closing your eyes and pretending it isn't there. There's a misconception, for example, that if a child is being abused, they're going to say something about it. And we know that 80 to 90% of cases of abuse are never reported. So imagine how many kids are out there suffering in silence because they're not being reported. These are the types of things that we have to continue to educate on, and hope that that type of education will bring additional funding.
Let's look ahead. What do you both think the gradual economic recovery in our state will do to impact the rates of child abuse? Do you see it increasing? Do you see it decreasing?
Well, one of the challenges around these statistics is that child abuse or child welfare services is somewhat driven by how many investigators you have in the field to respond to allegations. We now have a centralized reporting system, but it varies a lot across the country based on what the definitions are and what current policy is, for example. Michigan is under a huge pressure to keep the numbers down of kids that are going into foster care. We know that just off the top, we know that kids that go into foster care, even if they've been abused and neglected, it's another trauma for them to be taken from their family and the only caretakers they've ever known. And often kids languish in foster care, which has been a big issue in Michigan. So there's lots of issues around how the system works in a particular state and what the levels of funding are in terms of how the numbers can go up and down as well.
Do you feel now that what you had pointed to with the economic downturn and the Great Recession and direct impact that seemed to have on the increased rates you reported from 2005 to 2011, do you think that will get better as the economy improves?
We can hope that it does, but we still see child poverty rates going up, which means that families are still struggling, even though we're in, quote-unquote, a recovery. So I think there's a lot of issues around people making enough money to provide for the basic needs of their kids.
Kathy, where do you see things going?
I agree with Jane in that rates of child poverty are going to continue to impact specifically neglect cases. One would hope that with economic recovery and a little bit more money coming into the state coffers, there's perhaps more money available to fund prevention programs that can be so successful, and there can be hopefully more wherewithal within the general public to fund through donations the types of agencies like ours that are so effective at providing services to this population.
I'd like the thoughts of each of you to wrap up. The number one thing that our leaders in Lansing and Washington should do to protect our children. Kathy Weisenborn, what do you think that is?
I think the number one thing is to ensure a robust child protection apparatus, if you will, at Department of Human Services, and encouraging all of the parties within state governments, law enforcement, prosecutors' offices to work together toward the protection of children.
And Jane Zender Merrill, your thoughts?
I would say that since neglect is the biggest factor driving these data, I would see that it's really important to reestablish our prevention programs at the local level and to make sure they're wide-ranging. We know that our most vulnerable kids are our preschool kids, particularly infants. And if we don't reach those families and those children with support programs so that we don't have this level of incidence, we will have far too many young people growing up with huge burdens, social and emotional burdens, through the rest of their lives.
And then who knows the impact, can't even measure it, on the future generations.
That's right.
That was Jane Zender Merrill. Jane's the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. She joined us from Lansing. And we also spoke with Kathy Weisenborn, who's the president of Care House of Oakland County, the Child Abuse and Neglect Council of Oakland County. And she joined us from Pontiac. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us on Stateside.
Thank you for having us.